The way that I have built my coaching practice and the philosophy I use with clients is if it requires more discipline, it's the wrong strategy.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 90, with the founder of Impactive Strategies, Lisa Crilly Malice.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey, girls and guys, welcome back to another edition of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I'm your host, JC Preston, and I'm founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people create their own personal freedom. In this podcast, released each Thursday, we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This session is powered once again by our friends over at Fizzle.co. And, you know, if you live in the States this past weekend, we celebrated the Memorial Day weekend. And while it's a chance to celebrate those ancestors and veterans who have gone before us, it's also a time to get together with friends and family. And to do that, it's much easier to do when you have a three-day weekend. Three-day weekends are great. And the thing is if you own a business that makes income without you physically working for it, you can have more of them than what your job lets you have. And heck, you might even be able to take more weeks or months off, depending on what you're actually doing. To many people, designing their own way in life and living an independent lifestyle like this sounds like a pipe dream. And, you know, many people don't even get started. And for one, it's because they don't know how. You know, they hear people doing it, but they have no idea where to even start. And secondly, it's because it's difficult and there's really no guarantees out there. But the thing is that it is possible to do. And as you've heard on the show many, many times, people are finding success all over the world and web and finding their own path. And you too can be one of those success stories. Through that success, you'll find out that it's totally worth it, and you'll also find yourself along the journey. You know, that's really why I host this show, because I want to help build awareness that this independent life isn't a pipe dream. And if you want to go to the next step yourself and go deeper and start your own journey and don't have to do it alone, you can be part of a membership community that just won't let you quit. And maybe you want to go faster, have more guidance, or have access to training courses. The truth is, Fizzle has all of that as part of their membership community. Seriously, if you need to know something, guidance for the next step, insanely valuable feedback on what you're doing, or coaching calls, you know, it's all available there, and it only costs around $1 a day. Try it out for free for 5 weeks. You can do that by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. Again, that's newinceptions.com/FIZZLE. Okay, so today's guest is someone I've been looking to get on the show for a few months now, and she comes highly recommended by a couple of listeners of the show and some of our past guests. Lisa Crilly Malice is the founder of Impactive Strategies, through which she helps people, especially entrepreneurs, simplify their lives in order to get the most important work done and get back to living that life that they're proud of. Having had a past life in the education field, she understands that it's, you know, really hard for many of us to just turn off for the day and relax. And in fact, for her, she was physically wearing herself thin while she was still in that past education life. And eventually, she had enough and started tutoring. That led to helping students with school life and eventually the founding of her current career and helping people of all ages focus on what is most important part of their work and their lives. In this session, I found out more about this path of hers, her thoughts on getting more work done in a day, and whether or not that really involves more dedication and discipline, and how to get out of the constant pile of busy work. Also, we talk about the decision process she uses to determine whether she's going to pursue a new opportunity. With all the advice out there saying that you have to wake up earlier and hustle more, I feel that this is a good talk to get a better perspective on all of that hype. And if you're stressed out, you know, feel that your work is never ending, and you just can't get out of the finer details of your day, then this session is definitely for you. As always, follow along at home with the show notes at newinceptions.com/90, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here, and I got a very, very cool show for you guys today. And you know, one of the things that so many of us struggle with, whether you're a brand new entrepreneur or a seasoned vet, is figuring out the priorities in our lives. And notice I didn't say just business, I said lives. And I know that for me, you know, I'm a big fan of the book called The One Thing, which basically the gist of that book is, what is one thing that you can do now that will have a long-lasting effect on the rest of your business or life? Or, as I learned in LTD, if it doesn't matter in 5 years, it doesn't really matter. And there's no such things as emergencies. Today, our guest's sole focus in her work is to help her clients with figuring out the priorities in their lives if they feel that they're overburdened. Lisa Carilli Malice is the founder of Impact of Strategies. And like many other coaches and instructors I've had on the show, this is something that she herself had struggled with. And in fact, she was so close to the ground in the work that she was doing that she had lost complete sight of her goals, dreams, and visions. And eventually, through the struggles, she learned how to keep the big picture in mind as she was working on day-to-day tasks, when to say no to a lot of different requests. And she also learned how to manage her focus and energy so she could enjoy her days more. Today, we're going to find out a little bit more about her path and when she noticed things going south and what she did to right her ship. So welcome to the show, Lisa. Thanks for coming on with me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Really, really appreciate you having you on. And I know this is something a lot of people definitely struggle with, many aspects of their lives, not just professionally, but you know, for many, I feel that they'll go to work on Monday and, you know, want to get a ton of stuff done. And then before they know it, it's the weekend again. So tell me a little bit about your path and, you know, starting Impact of Strategies.
I started my professional career in high school education. So I started as a math teacher and then I moved into administration, and I really, really did enjoy what I did. I enjoyed teaching. I was a coach. And then I became an athletic director. And the more that came my way, the longer my to-do list became, and I didn't care. So I just went to work more and liked it. Loved working with the kids, loved working with the coaches, and thought I would do this. Thought I would be one of those people who was in education forever, mm-hmm. Or at least, you know, do my 30 years and leave.
Right.
And what I found was, the more I added to my to-do list and the more hours I work, the less I was taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it was 3 meals of concession stand food, going in at 6:37, 7:30 in the morning, leaving when the last event ended, which could be anywhere between 8 to 11 o'clock at night, mm-hmm. 6 days a week. And then I head on in there on Sundays to catch up on paperwork. And after doing that for a number of years, hard as it would be to believe, I had a health crisis, mm-hmm. and knew that I needed to step back and start to figure out, you know, what am I doing? Because I was so good at the day-to-day. I was so good at fixing the schedule and getting 15 more minutes in and saying yes to somebody else that I kept saying no to myself. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I like to pretend that I learned my lesson the first time through this and totally changed my whole life. And that's not true. And so it took a repeat of this pattern 3 times before I realized it wasn't the school. It was me. Uh-huh. I just kept thinking, if I was in a different environment, if I had a more robust support staff, uh-huh. if I had a different principal or administrator, then everything would be different. But it's not. It's me. At my core, I want to work from the second I get up until I drop exhausted at night.
Right.
And that's not a great way to live.
No, it's not. And you know, the thing is that, you know, my mom was an art teacher and I kind of grew up around that education mentality. And, you know, I believe that part of the way that she suddenly passed was because she internalized pretty much everything she did, including teaching. And the truth of the matter is that, like, she would always bring home work and it was always grading. And that's just how, you know, educators work, is that, you know, they go in crazy early and then they bring home everything with them. And it's not like when you go, a lot of corporate jobs are kind of changing, but for the longest time, it was like you go in, you clock out, and then you have the rest of your day. It's never really been that way for educators. And so I can totally see where you would have that issue, especially being a coach and dealing with, you know, all those other activities afterwards, that how that could all be strung together. I mean, you know, just with where she was, I mean, it was not uncommon for her to, you know, for us to go to, you know, fast food or something like that, just because it was the convenient thing to do. And I think a lot of professionals struggle with that. So, was having your own business, I mean, something you always wanted to do when you did finally start Impactive Strategies, and how did that actually come about?
I don't know that I ever looked past the next step directly in front of me. So I don't know that I ever thought I would be a business owner or what that would look like if I had even considered it. I went to college. When I was in college, I needed to pick a major. I had more classes in math than anything else, so I became a math teacher. Like, it was never this well thought out plan. My everything that was happening, it was, I want to coach softball. Where could I do that? Oh, well, it'd be easiest to do that if I was teaching math, since I have a math degree. you know, it was always, what do I want right now? Mm-hmm. And then making major life decisions based on what it was I wanted right away. So, yeah. You know, and because now, of course, now with, you know, the being able to look back, boy, do I wish I would have made decisions based on like facts and thinking for longer than 5 seconds. But I didn't. So it wasn't like, you know, I'm not one of those people who knew from the minute she, you know, could talk that she wanted to own her own business. I just kept doing whatever it was right in front of me. And that's what got me in trouble in education from a health perspective, because I never looked at what does this doing to me a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks down the road. It's what do I need right now? Mm-hmm. So to answer the second part of your question, how did the business start? As I was going through this cycle three times, I knew I had to figure out something different. And one of the advantages for me over needing to take time away from work was that I had nothing else to do but think. Like, I mean, there was, you just lay in there. And so at that point, I started to try to think, what are the skills I have that someone could pay me for? Because I know going back to the same thing a fourth time is not going to end any better unless I can start to fix myself. And I don't know that I will be able to. And so at that point, I was fortunate enough that a number of people kept asking me to help them with things that were similar. Mm-hmm. And I started to see, I do have a skill set that other people don't have. Because I'm sure, as you know, mm-hmm. things that come easiest for you, you just assume they're easy for everyone.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh no, that's not the case, and people will pay me for this. And so then at that point, then I started to figure out, okay, people will pay me for this. This is a skill that I own. Now what?
So what did you start with? Like tutoring then, or?
You know, isn't that funny? I did do some tutoring because that was always for me very easy money. Mm-hmm. But I originally started helping kids with time management and study skills.
Oh, okay.
And then started helping kids in college because they were very strong in high school without having to do much, got great grades, but didn't have to do much. And then they got to college where it was totally unstructured.
Yeah.
And they weren't sure what to do. And so that's where I started in that area, I was like, well, I can do time management with high school kids and then with college kids. And in the meantime, helping some friends figure out how to set up the right calendar. And, you know, I had friends who are like, I forgot my kid after school again. And I'm like, well, you know, it's really easy to put that down where you can see it. And so like those types of things. But through that transition, I then went into coaching and became certified, went back to school. Having that piece of paper that said I was a certified coach was very important to me because I came from the background of education.
Yeah. Yep. Understand that.
Yeah. So, you know, in that process, I was a professional organizer for a little while because I kept thinking I could, my whole thought was I can create order out of chaos. Mm-hmm. Like that's where my brain works really well. And then it did not take long before I realized that I do not want to work in the space arena of closets and bedrooms and garages. I want to work in the brain arena.
Gotcha.
Like, how do I create order there?
Gotcha. Since you're no longer teaching or dealing with those college students, I will kind of promote a book that I recently heard about. Are you familiar with Cal Newport?
Yes.
So he's known for deep work. Well, he also wrote a book, and I didn't know about this, but he's been writing books as he's been going through his career. And his first one apparently was called How to Become a Straight A Student. So, yeah, I did not know that even existed. And so if anybody is still in the college world and, you know, wants to study better and do that, How to Become a Straight A Student is definitely a good book to check out. But so when did you start, like, so you started learning more about the mind and how to take care, I'm guessing, like, did you like dive into more psychology stuff, more energy stuff? I mean, what did you study there?
I started one, coaching principles. So just how to help ask the right questions and create an open space for people to be able to find the answers that are in them that they are too busy to listen for. Mm-hmm. So that was a piece of what I went back to school for. The other piece then was specific organizing time management things and how to, concepts, and then how to be able to coach versus tell. Because in education, it was a lot of tell.
Yes.
It's a lot of tell. Tell and repeat back to me. Do some group work. Oh, repeat back to me. And so coaching's different.
Yeah.
And so it was how to be able to take what was innately easy to me and transfer that skill to people who have brains that are completely different from me.
Right. And a lot of people, myself included, might not necessarily, they might want to start a coaching practice, but they might not necessarily have best skills for that.
Well, it's so funny that you say that, because when I started my business, I had coach all over my website.
Right.
I took one coaching class and immediately took the word coach down off of everything on my website.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, I mean, again, here you were, you had been a coach in athletics. I mean, that isn't that the same thing?
Right.
Yeah,
in my head. Again, it was that whole idea of making decisions based on, you know, 60 seconds worth of knowledge.
So, instructor, I know I'm an instructor. Trainer, I know I'm a trainer. But it takes a certain kind of a patience to definitely deal with coaching. And for me, it's like, especially with an engineering background, it just is like, I see your problem. How bad do you want the answer? So we can go around in circles as much as you want to, but I could fix it for you right now. Do you want the advice? So anyway, time management, when we start talking about what you actually do now, here's the thing. Many of the prevailing advice clips that are out there these days, you know, they tell you that you have to be more disciplined to be more productive. And, you know, they like the term, like there's a term or a phrase, I guess you could say, called racing the sun. You know, that's something that's very common to hear these days. In fact, Layla, my co-host, has popped that one on me not too long ago, and I'd heard it from somewhere else. And I've also heard that for most people, we only have like 6 hours or so to really do work time, or to really do work in a particular day, and we can race the sun, but in the end, I mean, we're going to be spending so much time doing stuff that really isn't important. So kind of give me, I mean, what's the story here? Is being more disciplined the secret, or do night owls need to become morning birds, or what's the deal here?
I think the answer is maybe. It depends on the person. The way that I have built my coaching practice and the philosophy I use with clients is if it requires more discipline, it's the wrong strategy. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I say that is, you know, our discipline and willpower varies based on time of day, day of the week, what's going on. And so if you're using as your basis more discipline, Friday afternoons, that, you know, you're in trouble. Like, there is no way Friday afternoon you're at the highest place of discipline. Right. You know, maybe Tuesday mid morning, mm-hmm. you are. Mm-hmm. Monday morning, you're certainly not. You're like, oh, I can't believe it's Monday. Whatever. You know, so if discipline is the key component to whatever the strategy is, it's probably not going to be effective long term. Mm-hmm. And so whether you're, you know, a morning bird or a night owl, it's important to know that so that you use that time for your highest productive tasks. So is biological prime time is the name that goes behind that. So when you know your biological prime time, the time when you are most effective, that's when you schedule in those high value tasks.
Right. Right.
And on those other times where you know that's kind of where you lag, then that's the time you're doing things that don't take the brain power.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, there's something, you know, I think I ran across a thread not too long ago where they were even talking about this. It's like, you know, Benjamin Franklin, you know, he has this part of his journal or something somewhere that I've seen at one point, I'll put this in the show notes, that actually has his day by day broken out of, you know, when he's actually going to be doing stuff. And some people would even say that is slightly different than what, you know, at least in the entrepreneurial world of this, you know, online world anyway, that's not the norm, you know, and it's just interesting to me how different people work at different times. And
And, you know, and again, I work mostly with entrepreneurs, business owners who have this flexibility to create their own schedule. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we really focus on is let's create your schedule to fit your strengths.
Right.
And because there's that thing, you know, never answer email first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big believer in never. You know, and I have some of my clients who it takes them a couple hours to get moving, mm-hmm. mentally.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you answer your email first thing in the morning? Mm-hmm. Like, that is so their low time. So it's about finding, matching your strengths with your strategies.
Oh, cool. Another issue that a lot of people have to deal with, and I was talking about it already, is, you know, busy work. And I think this is a really big part of it, is that you can completely fill your day out with busy work. And, you know, but for me, again, the book that really helped me was The One Thing. But in your own words, how would you suggest that, you know, for folks who are in a place where they want to put more time and energy into actually building their business, but they're drained from having to do all the little fluffy stuff, what would you say, how would you say that they can battle that busy work? Because, I mean, truthfully, delegation isn't always the answer, because that costs money they might not have, and they might not necessarily, you know, frankly, be able to hire even, you know, because of that additional help. So
I think there's a couple things when it comes around busy work. But before I do that, I have to say I love The One Thing. So if there's anyone who's listening who's not yet read that book, please read that book. It's an awesome book. And it's one that I read and then read with a book club in one of my networking organizations and then read again. And so love that book. But back to busy work. One of the pieces that I advocate that I did not follow, like, you know, as you said at the very beginning, I lived this the other way before I lived the way I live now. And it is a constant battle for me. My personality is my personality, and I have to do a lot of things to make sure that I stay on track. Busyness or busy work is one of those pieces. So my philosophy is you need to be clear on what it is you're doing and then why you're doing it. So one of the activities I have my clients do is they'll go back over the last couple of days and they'll look at some of the things that they've done. And then I ask them to link it to what goal did it directly support. And if it doesn't directly support a goal, there's a good chance it wasn't a task that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And so we get so tied up in, this is on my calendar, so I have to do it.
Right.
This is on my to-do list, so I have to do it. You know, just because it somehow magically got there doesn't mean it stays.
Right.
You know, and I always joke, I'm like, I don't know how that magically got on that calendar. They have to earn a right onto the calendar and onto the to-do list. And one of the way to earn the right is that it directly supports a goal. Mm-hmm. And so once you can start to go through the pieces of what you're doing and what you're seeing, some obvious solutions will come up. Like there'll be things that you're like, oh, I don't need to do that. That can go away. It doesn't support anything. That used to be important to me, but now things have shifted and it's not. So like that's one way to look at the busy work. But what I found is that you're so close in it. You can't see the forest for the trees. And so it's helpful to get an outside perspective in where someone pushes back at you. You know, why did you do that? I'm a big proponent of coaches need coaches too.
Oh, yeah.
I have two coaches. It takes a village to raise me. And right now I have two, you know, and I will default to, well, I did that because of this. And both of them are so great because at different times they'll say, yeah, I don't get it. Tell me why you did whatever it was. And then I'll be like, ooh, let's examine a little more. So that's one of the pieces that I recommend doing is getting some kind of an outside perspective on what that busy work is that you're doing. Because if you, especially if a ton of my clients started their business and then a couple years into it, hate their business.
Oh yeah.
And it's not that they hate what they don't hate the reason they started the business. They hate what they're actually doing in the business now. Right?
Right. Oh, yeah. 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 Exactly.
So it's a matter of what can we get rid of that's in there. Another strategy that I encourage anyone listening to do, and I'll, JC will put these in the show notes for you also, but be really honest and aware of where you're spending your time and how much time you're spending. So, for example, when we start coaching, my clients and I do something called the Magic 168 Guide. And it's based on the premise there's 168 hours in the week. How would you like to spend them? How many hours would you proactively like to spend sleeping and working on this project or spending time with family or whatever? And once you spend your time, you add this up and you realize, are you over, under, or magically right at 168? And that's another way to start to look at the busy work because no one's putting busy work down on that 168.
Right.
On those categories. And so I had a client who had 258 hours and I said, well, this is why you always feel like you aren't getting things done because you somehow think you're going to get 90 more hours every week. And that isn't going to happen. So now we have to look, you know, where other clients, they could be 20, 30, 40 hours under.
Yeah.
And say, okay, now what's going on? Where am I wasting time? But I'm a believer in data. Emotions can be misleading, but if you look at, I want to allocate you know, 190 hours and I don't have them, what has to give? All of a sudden, some of that busy work starts giving.
What do you, I mean, you had mentioned that maybe that answering email in the first part of the day, depending on the person, might not necessarily be a good or a bad move. What would you consider busy work?
Everyone will have a different, I always feel like I have to preface my answers right now. Everyone has a different answer to this, but for me, anything that is something that isn't in my zone of genius and isn't something that only I can do, I consider busy work. Mm-hmm. So there is some busy work in my schedule, but in my business, honest to goodness, the only things that only I can do the way I have set my business up right now, mm-hmm, is coach my clients, have conversations like this with you, and do presentations. Mm. And then any of the volunteer work, you know, like those pieces that are business building activities. But anything I'm touching paper wise, mm-hmm, that is so far outside my zone of genius. And so, you know, that needs to go. Anytime I'm messing around doing something on my website, that has to go. Periodically, I will write my blog posts and newsletters and things like that, but I don't edit them. I don't source the pictures for them. I don't come up with catchy titles. Like, all of that, I outsource. So when it comes to busy work for other people, they need to decide where their line is. Like you said, sometimes you're at a place where you don't feel you have the money to delegate. Mm-hmm. And so then you are taking on some of that busy work. My thought there, which makes me very unpopular to some people, is that you don't have a luxury of not delegating if you're trying to grow your business. And get clear on how much it costs. How much does it cost to delegate out 1 hour a week? And what could you replace that's in your zone of genius in that 1 hour a week? If you can delegate, so let's say it's $50, which is, and I'm just going to go VA. Let's just say you can delegate to a virtual assistant, and $50 is a good rate for a virtual assistant. If you could delegate out $50 a week and replace it with something that builds your business at $150 a week, you're ahead.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And in many things you can delegate out for like $15, $20, $25. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I used to say high school and college kids, and people are like, not anymore. They don't work for that rate. So instead I'll say people who are retired, people looking to pick up an extra, you know, couple bucks, but you can delegate. So get clear on how much does it really cost?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's, you know, there is a certain population, I guess you can say, that will still help you out, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Don't forget about those interns because
interns, you know, my mother does my books. Mm. And every once in a while, someone would be like, are you going to move to an accountant? I was like, I have an accountant who does my taxes, my mom keeps my books, and we are good.
Right. Awesome. Cool. Well, yeah, I think a lot of people just don't generally think outside out of the normal VA box of, you know, especially if they're remote workers like we are. Mm-hmm. But even if you have a brick and mortar, you know, business as well, like seriously, interns, because, mm-hmm, or even outside of that, maybe you can find someone that, sure, they already have a job, but the job isn't necessarily what they want their career to be about. And maybe your extra work will be an, you know, help them build their resume like an internship would, mm-hmm, to connect them to the future that they're actually going for. So got to think outside that box. I think that's yes, definitely key. Another thing that you know, I'm kind of curious about is, you know, this thing called saying no. And personally, you know, I like the phrase, everything is an opportunity. However, the truth is that we can't follow all those opportunities. And even if we feel that the next opportunity will plug a hole for, you know, something that we're currently lacking in what we're doing. How did you, is there some sort of formula that you use to figure out when to say no? And can you tell us a little bit about what that might be?
Absolutely. So there's a couple pieces to answer that question. So the first one is, and these might sound a little like overused or trite, but it's to remember that every time you say yes, every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And that was one of the areas that I never quite understood, because I just always thought that that meant you just weren't a very good scheduler.
Right.
Like if you were a better scheduler, you could say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Because what happens is you're ending up saying no to things like self-care or time with family, or, you know, those pieces that don't have a time and date to them. So keeping that in mind is important. The other piece that I read, and I'm trying desperately now to remember where, and it could have been in The One Thing, is that we are allowing good to push out great. So we fill our schedules with a lot of activities that are really good and mostly aligned with our goals, and that doesn't leave us the room or the space to follow those really great opportunities mm-hmm. that are directly aligned with what we need and what we want.
Right.
And so with that background being said, one of the most important things I think is to be really crystal clear on what your immediate and long-term goals are. What do you really, really want? What do you want this quarter? What do you want this year? What do you want for your life? What do you want for your business? You know, one of the great things about The One Thing is that Gary Keller breaks it out into many areas. And so you can have a one thing. Like first time I read it, I was like, I don't understand how I can have 8 1 things. Uh-huh. This is so hard. And you can rotate them around and decide which ones are most important at this time. And then you're making sure that those activities that you're choosing to do proactively line up to whatever those goals are that you've decided that are the most important.
Right.
With that being said, way easier in theory than in practice. And so the very strategic tip I want to share with you and your listeners is you need time to let your mouth and your brain catch up. So you need a stalling. You need a stalling phrase. You need time to step away and look and decide, is this a good activity or a great activity?
Hmm.
Because we typically, you're flattered that someone asked you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so your default's, yeah, I'd love to do that. And then later, something else comes around. Like you said, everything's an opportunity. Another opportunity comes around that's an even better one than what you've currently committed to. And then you're like, am I a person of my word? And do I follow this through? Or do I try to get out of it? Or am I sad that I can't do this? Don't play those games. So instead, decide up front, does it fit or doesn't it? So here's my go-to phrase. And it does not work at home, in case you're wondering. This works in business. I've tried this on my husband. He does not appreciate it. But my phrase is, if you need an answer right now, the answer is no. But if you can give me 24 hours and I can check my schedule, that answer might change.
Interesting.
Right. So sometimes I'll start with, wow, I'm really flattered. And if you need an answer right now, that answer is no. But if you can give me some time, then I can see if it fits or not.
Huh.
And people respect that because it's about communication. If you know that I'm going to give you an answer in 24 hours, you're okay waiting 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know what I'm going to get back to you, then you're not okay about it. And again, I used that here just a couple weeks ago, and my husband's like, don't, no, just are you or are you not? I was like, oh, yeah, then the answer's no. Totally not doing it. but whatever your no phrase is, and it's different for everyone, whatever it is, have one. Practice it.
That's a good default one, I think.
Yeah. You know, just have something because you want the time. It's sad and frustrating and discouraging and every other word you can think of to put in the sentence when you spend more time working on someone else's goals than on your own. Mm. And being able to flip that and, you know, go over the tipping point to where you're now saying yes to your stuff.
Right.
More consistently, that's the space you want to be in.
Mm. So let's kind of wrap this all up right here as kind of a summary of the different things that we're talking about. Is there a simple way that people can keep their focus really on what's important?
I use an acronym with my clients. It's AWE, A-W-E, Awareness, Work, and Evaluation. And whatever the challenge is that they're working through, that's where we come back to. So awareness just means what's going on. So let's go back to the no situation. Mm-hmm. When are the times that you say yes and regret it? Having that knowledge front and center, you're now forearmed, mm-hmm. forewarned, you're ready. You know, for me, it's way harder for me to not say yes in person when someone's staring me right in the eye 3 feet away.
Right.
Way easier text, email, voice message, you know, super easy. But I also know it's easier for me to say no to family than to people who I view as potential referral partners or clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so, but knowing that, that's the awareness piece. Then that W piece of all work, that's where you start to build your strategies. So I know where my no struggle can come in. So then it's like, okay, now let's start to figure out what do we do. So one of the strategies is here's my default. You know, and it's a joke now in on some of the boards I sit on. They're like, oh, if we ask Lisa, she's going to make us wait 24 hours. It's like, yes, you're right. I am. But that helps. That's my strategy. And then that E phase is evaluation. Sometimes our solution can possibly cause more challenges. And so you need to look at that and know, you know, do more of what works and less of what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so we use the evaluation piece. And so when it comes to any of the things we've been talking about along the way, you know, busyness. All right, well, awareness, what is it you're doing? Then that work strategy is, okay, well, where's it aligned? Is it aligned? If it's not aligned, how do I get rid of it? And then finally, the evaluation piece of, okay, now what does my schedule look like? Do I like it or do I still want to make some changes?
Hmm. So it's, in a way, it's kind of like being a doctor for more or less every situation that you see yourself in. It's examine, you know, solution, implementation is the way mm-hmm. how I look at it as. So cool. So here we are already May, even though here in the Midwest, you know, this week, we couldn't actually say that
it could be December.
Exactly. What's on the horizon for you this summer and the rest of the year?
So coming up, I just opened up the workplace training portion of my company. Up until now, I have focused with business owners, one-on-one coaching, and I did that deliberately because I didn't want to offer solutions that were things that I had just only read about in one of the various books I've read. I wanted to make sure that I knew how to adapt them to fit very different personality styles and work styles and things like that. And so I needed to market test my strategies before I took them into group settings. Uh-huh. So now I have a number of things that I can easily adapt as I present it. You know, if you think more like this, then you'll want to make this change. And if you do this, you'll want to make this change. And so we've just opened up the workplace training portion of the company. And then also coming up, I'm really excited. I've done a lot of local speaking and I just started to break through and do some national keynotes. And so I'm super excited about that because I get to travel.
Mm. Cool. So that's going from Ohio to hopefully the West Coast.
Please let it be Ohio to anywhere warm. No, isn't it funny? Because my first one is in the mountains of Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. So. It's kind of over there. Yeah.
I know. So we're hoping. Now I have Minneapolis coming up in a couple months. Mm-hmm. And I have Chicago and Detroit.
Okay. So still not warm. Yeah, but not too far away, but at the same time, get them all taken care of within, hopefully, mm-hmm. Before too long. Yes. Cool. Rapid fire questions segment is coming up. Basically, the situation is that I'm going to be giving you questions that I give them to you quickly, but you don't have to give me a quick answer. All right.
Okay, good.
And meaning that you can elaborate as much as you want to. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Who are, and this is one of my favorite questions, who are three influencers or teachers that have launched you to where you're at today?
One would be my marketing coach. Absolutely. Another one is a principal I had in one of the various schools that I worked in as I was finding myself. And then the third one would be, I would have to say Stephen Covey, though I never actually met him. Mm-hmm. That would be my third one.
Okay. Yeah. He's a good one. And he actually gets a lot of people motivated. I mean, his books get a lot of people motivated to get off the ground for sure. So. What is something you wish was still a thing?
I wish it was easy to still watch VHS tapes because we have a ton of them from when the kids were little, and now that they have grandkids, we're struggling to play all those Disney tapes. Now we have to go out and get new DVDs.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I still have a VHS player from a Zenith VHS player from 1987. I remember when, because actually that was the year my grandfather passed away. And so anything that happened that year, I kind of remembered, but it's like still flashing 12 right there in front of my like, I guess you could say plasma/ I forget what it is, but yeah, it does not fit in with the rest of electronics that are around it. That's for sure.
Well, and I have a very low tolerance for clutter. Mm. And so I'm always the one, get rid of this. And now we're like, oh yeah, great, Lisa, you got rid of the VHS player. Now, we wish we had one.
Well, another thing I was about to say is that they, VHS players are only good for so long. Or not players, but the actual VHS tapes. And I have to get around before too long to getting those converted to digital because, mm-hmm. yeah, I did not know that there was a lifetime on how long that the data will stay on those tapes. So
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm starting to look into that big time now, too. What is the smallest decision you've had that has had the largest impact on your life?
I decided 2 years ago to go to the National Conference for NABO, which is the National Association of Women Business Owners. And I was having a conversation with someone who was also on our board, and she's like, it's in San Antonio, it'll be warm, let's go. And I was like, okay. And didn't really think about it, didn't even really know what it was, what it meant. Like, I was just like, oh, all right. And from that, my business radically changed. Some of the national speaking opportunities have come because of that. I'm now, a number of my clients came from there. I met my marketing coach at that conference. Just huge changes in my business.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And apparently you haven't been practicing your no rule.
I know. At least not at all. I was like, she's like, what do you think? And I was like, okay, let's do it. And I'm very not spontaneous. Like, it's plan it out,
right.
All of that. And I was like, okay.
Cool. What is something you believed as a someone in their 20s that you'd now tell yourself is completely inaccurate, and why?
A couple years after I graduated from college, they had me come back and speak to the math graduates. which I was only invited once. And because my advice at that time was take more fun classes in college and don't take all the, you know, if you're majoring in math, don't take all these coding classes in computers. Like, take golf and take astronomy. Although I think when I went, I called it astrology. So that also could be why I wasn't invited back. It's hard to say. And that story leads to the point of when you're 20, you don't have it figured out and it doesn't matter. Get through school and then, or through whatever you're choosing to do. Get through school, get through, you know, get a trade, whatever it may be. And then just get out into the world. You are not landing a $125,000 job 5 seconds after you graduate. So just get out there and get some real experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I just published an interview with a guy by the name of Brian Drury. And, you know, his first job was in Wisconsin. You know, he grew up in New Jersey. And his first job is in Wisconsin. And I think that he, you know, he did get that the experience that you're talking about. And, you know, if anybody wants to dive into deeper about, you know, the 20s there, definitely go back and listen to that one. But next one, how can someone be a difference maker in their community?
Get involved. When I first transitioned out of education, you know, and when I was in education, I was on, of course, I was on every committee. I was everything because I never said no. And when I transitioned in my business, because of health reasons, I pulled back away from everything. Mm-hmm. And so I would start to go to networking events, but I would go right before they started. I wouldn't really talk to anybody. And then I would leave as soon as it was over. And then I would wonder why networking didn't work. Who would have thought? It could have been the person again. But not the organization, but again, the person. But as I started to get more comfortable in my business and gain more strength mentally and physically, I realized that, you know, there's a world outside of my office. And the more I can get involved, the better, you know, we're going to be all around. So, you know, now I sit on a couple different boards. I do mentoring for new business owners, young business owners, kids in college still. It's, and you know, people are like, oh, is that your way of giving back? I'm like, that's my way of just sharing what I love and what I know. And hopefully, yeah, it's giving back.
So as we're closing out, what is a way that someone can actually start today, like just bringing more priority into their life?
One is take action now. People listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I'll hear things and I'll be like, I want to do that. I need to do that. And unless I actually make it a point to do that, whatever it may be, it was just a really great idea and something I listened to for an hour. So my advice is always, whatever it is that you are like, this is really important and this is a priority, take an action. So the action, for those of you who are listening today, the action I would recommend that you take, because if you're still here at the end, you're looking for ways to accomplish more by doing less, is to do that Magic 168 guide. And again, that link will be in the show notes. That's your way of getting clarity around what are you actually doing versus what is it you want to do. And from there, everything else follows.
Excellent. And Lisa, if people want to have more help after they complete that guide, where can they find you?
The best place is just to jump on the website. And from there, all magical things happen. So the website is impactivestrategies.com. Or for those of you who prefer not to have to dig around for anything, just email me at lisa@impactivestrategies.com.
All right. Well, Lisa, thanks again for coming on, and I definitely think that you've given us a lot of value today. So again, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, there you have it. Hope you enjoyed this talk with Lisa. Definitely a perception changer if you thought the answer to getting more done through your day and your week and your career is by working harder and longer hours. You know, she's a great example of working smarter and not harder. And from my perspective, you really just need to focus on doing the best that you can day in and day out. In the chat, you know, she mentioned her Magic 168 action guide, and the link for that, among other things that we talked about today, are in the show notes found at newinceptions.com/90. In the show note extras this week, I have two videos featuring Lisa and then a couple of interviews she's done, one of which was done with her upcoming guest, Mark Mawinney. She actually has a ton of good little informative videos on her YouTube channel, so I shared a couple that relate to her chat today. And then the interviews with Mark and Erica Duran are after that. And both of these were done while she was still calling her company System Savvy Consulting, which is now, again, Impact of Strategies. If you like the interview with Lisa today, you'll surely get more out of those, I'm sure. So that's it for this week, guys. Thanks again for taking the time with me today. There's plenty of other podcasts out there that you could be listening to when you joined us. So again, thank you so much for choosing us. As you know, we love hearing from you. If you have feedback on the show, shoot us an email via heyguys@newinceptions.com. You can leave a review on iTunes by visiting newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes. Or if you're using your podcast app on your iPhone, all you have to do is hit the reviews tab there and add your own review. And I'd really appreciate it. Android users, feel free to leave us feedback on SoundCloud, Stitcher, or whatever you're listening to us through. Appreciate that as well. If you want to get connected with Lisa directly or any of our past guests, other listeners, or members of the team, you can do so by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook. Get to it directly by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. Speaking of Mark Mawinney, he's next week's guest, and Mark is a coach for coaches. He's the founder of Natural Born Coaches and can be found on his podcast of the same name, or his mega Facebook group called The Coaching Jungle. And if you're a coach, Mark is someone you should definitely know. And in next week's session, co-hosted with Albert Winks, we're going to find out how he became a coach for coaches, what exactly that means, what he helps other coaches with, including what makes a successful coach, and a bit more about his podcast and how he's been growing his group on Facebook. If you're looking to be a life, business, or entrepreneur or coach, this chat is one that you're definitely going to get a lot out of. And I can say for sure that Al and I did, and we're not even, you know, full-fledged coaches and don't pretend to be. So be sure to check out that one next week. And also make sure to like the New Inceptions page on Facebook to get informed when it's released. And yeah, that's pretty much a wrap for Session 90, gang. Again, I appreciate you joining us. And until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating, and we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, Instagram @new.inceptions, and on the web @newinceptions.com.